A reading from the prophet Isaiah. Hear me, O coastlands. Listen, O distant peoples. The Lord called me from birth, from my mother's womb. God gave me my name. He made of me a sharp-edged sword and concealed me in the shadow of his arm. God made me a polished arrow. In his quiver he hid me. You are my servant, God said to me, Israel, through whom I show my glory. Though I thought I had toiled in vain and for nothing uselessly spent my strength, yet my reward is with the Lord, my recompense is with my God. For now the Lord has spoken, who formed me as a servant from the womb, that Jacob may be brought back to God and Israel gathered to him. And I am made glorious in the sight of the Lord, and my God is now my strength. It is too little, God says, for you to be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the survivors of Israel. I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. The word of the Lord. In the very beginning of our scriptures, in the book of Genesis, God said, light, let there be light, and there was light. The light came from God. The light comes from God. It comes from God's very own heart. God is light. And God shared that divine light with the world in the beginning. Our ancient story of salvation tells us that God shone this divine light on a particular people, a chosen people, the people of Israel. They were an enslaved and oppressed people, and God made a preferential option for them. God's light was showered upon this people with a special favor, kind of like a mother who shares a bit of special love on the son or daughter who suffers a bit more than the others. Israel was this people. It was a nation bathed in God's light in a special or preferential way, but not in an exclusive way. As Jesus himself reminds us in the Sermon on the Mount that we've been hearing these days, God causes the sun to rise on the good and the bad, the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. So God's love is preferential, but it isn't exclusive. God's special favor on Israel is a kind of sacramental love. In other words, when God loves this one people, the nation, the people of Israel, we really glimpse through that love, God's love for all people. You know, when John Paul II used to pick up a little baby in his travels throughout the world, lift it up into his arms, give it a great big smile and a kiss, it was as though he was doing this to all children. Such is God's favor with the people of Israel. A few years ago, I read a little story about a conversation that a little boy in first grade had with his mother. Mom, he said inquisitively, what's a saint? His mom thought for a few moments, and then she said, well, don't you remember when we went to the church and we saw those stained glass windows and we saw those faces, those people in the windows? Those are the saints. And the little boy looked and his eyes opened up and he said, oh, you mean the ones that have the light that shines through them? Yes. Exactly. Saints are people who have light shining through them. Israel, God's chosen people, is a nation upon whom and through whom God's light shines. That is why we speak of the people of Israel as a holy people, a holy nation. And so in the reading from Isaiah that we hear today, one of Israel's great prophets, there is a new twist added to this ancient story. Not only is Israel the people upon whom God sends the divine light, But now the new twist is that they are called to be a people who let their light, which is the very same light that they received from God in the beginning, shine on others, on other peoples, and on other nations. This is a pretty radical development in Israel's history. Israel is like a stained glass window, and God's light is to shine through them. But, and here's where the whole thing gets turned upside down, stained glass windows receive the light from the outside and they let it flow in a multiplicity of colors on all those who are gathered on the inside. That's the way stained glass windows work. But Isaiah's prophecy turns the stained glass window image upside down. Isaiah says, "You are my servant, Israel, through whom I show my glory. It's too little for you to be my servant. I will make you a light to the nations, that my salvation will reach to the ends of the earth." God wants the people of Israel to awaken to a very profound truth, that they are to be light, and to shine God's glory, God's light, on all the nations to the ends of the earth. In other words, they can't claim God's favor as some sort of special gift that's just for themselves. The gift they have received is for the world. Imagine what the people of Israel would be like today if they really captured this ancient prophecy and allowed the light of God to shine through them onto the people of Palestine, onto the Muslim world, and understood their mission to be a light, a glass through which God's light blesses the world. And, of course, this is where we come into the picture. We're descendants of the people of Israel. John the Baptist, whose birth we celebrate today, announces that the fulfillment of the ancient prophecies is about to happen. John the Baptist is like a new Isaiah, and it is he who will point to the one who is the bearer of the light, Jesus. To be a follower of Jesus, then, is to live the gift, the grace, of having God's light shine on us. Remember, in baptism, we were handed a candle, and we heard the words, "Receive the light of Christ." Jesus himself said, "I am the light of the world." We've been given this gift. But that's not all Jesus said. He also said, "You are the light of the world." We who have received the light are also called to be light. Imagine a church full of people, a beautiful church with beautiful stained glass windows, the sunlight spreading the color of the glass out upon the people gathered. Today's prophecy from Isaiah and the Christian vocation, however, call us to flip this picture upside down. We are the light of the nations. We're the ones called to let our light shine from the inside out. The color from the stained glass windows should be shining outward like outstretched arms embracing the world with mercy and compassion. When Mother Teresa of Calcutta used to walk through the poverty-infested streets of Calcutta, it was God's light shining through her that changed the world. That light fell upon the people like gentle embraces of love. Hindu and Muslim, Christian and Buddhist, Jain and Sikh and non-believers alike. All were blessed with the light that flowed through the heart of Mother Teresa. Another great saint, recently beatified a few years ago, is Charles de Foucault, the founder of the Little Brothers of Sister and Little Brothers and Sisters of Jesus. Charles de Foucault lived the last half of his life among the Muslim and nomadic peoples living in the deserts of Africa. Foucault was not there trying to conquer all these people for Jesus. He felt that his vocation was to live there quietly among the people and to let God's light shine through him as a blessing for all. When Jesus says at the end of Matthew's Gospel, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations," he's not sending us out on a crusade to conquer the world for Christ. No, he's challenging us to a pretty serious examination of conscience. Are we so concerned with soaking up God's light and God's favor and God's blessings that we've turned into a church that huddles together waiting for the sun to shine through the stained glass windows and shower us with grace? Or have we awakened to the deeper truth, to the light of Christ that burns and shines from within us? Do we experience our being sent out to the world as light to the nations? Are we willing to give ourselves away? Pour ourselves out like Mother Teresa or Charles de Foucault? To put it bluntly, are we hoarding the light? Or are we disappearing like John the Baptist, so that all that remains is God's light? Are we worried about saving ourselves, or are we concerned with loving the world? I'd like to end with a quote from the Dominican Bishop Pierre Claveri, who poured his life out as the Bishop of Oran in Algeria, a man who embraced Christian and Muslim alike, and finally gave his life when an assassin's bomb blew him up and killed him, along with his Muslim friend and driver, Muhammad. Bishop Claveri understood very well that his life was to be a light that reached out to all, no exceptions. And he wrote, "I believe that the church dies in not being close enough to the cross of the Lord. It deceives itself and the world when it positions itself as a power among all the rest, as a humanitarian organization or as a flashy evangelical movement. In this condition, the church can glitter on the outside, but it cannot burn with the fire of God's love, which is as strong as death, as the Song of Songs puts it. It is truly a question of love. Of love above all, and of love alone. It is a passion for which Jesus has given us a longing, and to which he has marked out the way. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends." Happy Feast of John the Baptist.